Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Amen. We are very excited for the new church building. Friday nights in the back hall with about 25 teenagers hyped up on sugar is getting a bit squishy in there now. So we're looking forward to the new building. Amen. Give honor to Pastor and his family. Thank you for this opportunity tonight to speak to you in the congregation. And this morning's message, wow, such an anointed and powerful and challenging ministry. And I feel really challenged. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're going to go straight into the scripture tonight. If we can turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And it'll be on the screen. Praise God. And it reads, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all these things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And my main text for tonight is this: "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. And I wouldn't call this part two of Pastor's message this morning. And it is this: no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, I'm persuaded. Lord God, we're so thankful that we can be here together tonight in your house, Lord God. What a privilege it is to be able to hear your word and to listen and praise you and glorify you in this free nation, Jesus. Lord God, help me as this vessel to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Every day, we face many voices, many images, many challenges, many products and many marketing corporations trying to persuade us to buy their product or to listen to what they've got to say. Constantly chasing us, pursuing us, trying to grab our attention, even more so now with social media. You can't go without looking at something. There's always ads everywhere, no matter what you're playing. Even Facebook videos have ads now. You just can't escape everyone trying to persuade you with what they've got to offer. They're trying to catch our attention, our desires, our emotions, our time, our money, our family, and even our convictions. Now, we've just recently gone through the process of buying a new car. Is there any salesman in the house, car salesman? As soon as you mention these four gold honey-coated words, "I'm looking to buy," look out. You're in for a ride, literally. We went through this process, and I think they only heard the buy part and not looking, because we spent a good hour going through looking at this car. And they're trying to persuade us, like, we're just looking. Oh, okay. Well, this one's the last one on the field. So if you want to get it, look, we can sign you up for a finance deal. We'll give you the cheapest percentage. And look, you can take it away today. You don't have to pay anything. They'll persuade you like crazy. And just looking is an open door for persuasion. They'll try to use fancy words like the latest technology, eco-friendly, last one on the lot, drive away, take it now. They'll do everything and anything to get you persuaded to buy this brand new car. And as I was praying and seeking the Lord about this message that I was preparing, I had to ask myself this question. What am I looking for when I come to the house of God? Well, number one is there's bread in the house and there's the bread of life. I come into the house of God to be woken up, not to fall asleep. And yes, there are those times, Pastor, where I do drag myself out of a nice warm bed on a winter's day to get into the house of God. Why? Because I'm persuaded that whatever I need, whatever my circumstance, whatever I'm going through, the answer is in the house of God. No matter how I'm feeling, I got to get myself into the house of God. I don't want to miss that spoken word. Like this morning, the pastor was saying that message was for someone specific. And I don't want to miss a service like that if it's for me. I don't want to miss out on that opportunity. I don't want to miss the gifts of the Spirit moving in the church as God's speaking to His church. I want to be there. I want to be challenged. And I'm persuaded that I can get that in the house of God. And if you're in the house of God tonight, it is no coincidence that you happen to drag yourself out of home watching Australia's Ninja Warrior or a warm bed or something, and you happen to get in the car and you drove all this way, entered into the house of God, chose your seat, and you're here. That is no coincidence. And there's something here that persuades us, whether it's a new person who you haven't been here before, or the saint that came last week, or even the mature saint of 5, 10, 15 years plus. Something has persuaded you to come here tonight. So why do we come here into the house of God? There's something that has happened in your life at some point, an experience, something undeniable that has happened in your life that has caused you to be persuaded that, yes, I need to be here. And nothing is truly impossible because God can answer. He can perform miracles. He can perform signs, wonders. There can be faith in this house. There can be strength. There can be courage. There can be healing. But tonight, I want us to ask ourselves, and I'm challenging myself tonight as well, why are we truly here? Are we persuaded that we need to be in the house of God because we need God? We need to be in His presence? Or has something else caught our attention? Being persuaded is not about being right. You can still be persuaded that you're right when in fact you're wrong. And all the wives turned to their husbands and said, Amen. Me and Brooke sort of have disagreements, and then once the disagreement sort of cooled itself down, I'll pull out Google just to double check that I'm right. And I'm not right. I'm wrong. And then, yeah, it's good to admit that you're wrong, but yeah. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof leads to death." And if we're not careful in our walk with God, if we don't seek godly counsel, and if we continue in a path that we think is right, we could end in trouble. We are setting ourselves up for a life of struggle. And this morning's message, where are we pitching our tent? That's important. Are we looking towards Sodom and Gomorrah? If we ask ourselves and look at our lives, and this is an important thing to do, is to judge yourself. Step out of your shoes and view everything around you and ask honestly, God, am I on the right path right now? You see, your will must align with His will. Not my will, His will. If the Word of God says that it's wrong, that settles it. End of story. If you've gone to see the pastor and you've received counseling and he's said, you need to stop doing this or you need to do this, that should settle it. We need to be submissive to the man of God and to God Himself and His will for our lives. As it says, there is a way that seems right to us. We feel like it's the right way. And sometimes we can end up deceiving ourselves where we sort of make up this fantasy that God's sort of in this, and then you find yourself in a hole. And I've done this myself, and I've gone to pastor and said, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm stuck here. It's like, well, did you pray about it? Did you come ask me about it? No. I thought I was right, but I was wrong. And it took me a struggle. It took me a rut to realize that. So being persuaded that you're right doesn't necessarily mean that you're right. You can even be persuaded that you're stuck in a season where everything seems to be against you. But in fact, it is God that is allowing you to be in this season to get you through to the next season. Ecclesiastes 3 says, to everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under heaven. And Pastor, also you spoke about people going around fighting devils. It might be like we read in Job that God let the devil attack Job because God said, have you considered my servant Job? What an honor that would be. We don't like to think about it. But God says, have you considered my servant? Look at him. And the devil's like, it's because you're protecting him. That's why. That's why he's serving you. And we read that, no, that's not the case. But we have to ask ourselves, are we fighting against this season, thinking that it's perhaps a devil that's attacking us, when in fact, it's God that's leading you through this season? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And I think if we can all be honest with ourselves, we'll find ourselves in one of those seasons. But we need to ask ourselves, not why is this happening, but Lord, what are you doing? That changes our perspective. Not knowing the struggle of the season, but knowing who provides the strength in the struggle. Being persuaded, changing your mindset to understand that, God, what are you doing in my life right now? I can't see it, but it's the fact of my attitude knowing Him. And while you're fighting against the season, you fail to realize that God is allowing this to happen to change you. And praise God, it doesn't end there. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hands. He can make you new. And you know what happens when He's making that pot is there's a lot of friction, and there's a lot of water applied, a lot of work happening. It's a masterpiece. It doesn't just happen instantaneously like we'd like to think in our prayers. Say, Lord, just open up this door for me and we'll be sweet. God wants you to go through some trials first before he says, look, you're not ready to go there yet. Once you're going through these seasons, then I'll open the door for you. The potter, and this is beautiful, can take the broken pieces, the pieces that no one else can visibly see in our lives, the hidden parts, the secret places. God knows that. And God gathers up all those broken pieces to make something new. Did you know our persuasion can affect that season that we go through? It is challenging and it's hard, it is. But if we're on the side of being persuaded that it's God's fault or it's the enemy's fault, we're going to be stuck in that season. Whereas if we're persuaded to say, Lord, what are you doing? Help me, give me strength, give me courage to get through this. You'll be able to get through that season and the seasons after that if you are persuaded. Our attitude needs to be, no matter what, I am persuaded. No matter how, Lord, I am persuaded. No matter when, I am persuaded. That is the attitude that we need. Persuasion is powerful. A made-up mind is powerful. And being persuaded is not how you feel. You can still feel terrible and still be persuaded. I'll say that again. You can feel terrible, run down, beaten up, sad, unhappy, and still be persuaded. There are plenty of needs in the house of God, and we do not know what are behind closed doors. But when what really matters is when we come into the house of God and we lift up his name on high. Despite what I'm feeling beat down right now, but I know my God is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be lifted up because I know my God. I am persuaded that no matter what I'm going through, I can get through this. He's brought me through the past. He can bring me through to the present and into the future. I know my God and I am persuaded. And it's not about feelings. Paul said, tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness or peril or sword. I'm sure Paul would have been feeling terrible. And if you've read about what he went through, I'm sure he would have felt terrible at times. I don't imagine him being beaten and whipped and having a smile on his face. No. But he was persuaded. He knew his God. Pastor Zounds put it perfectly the other night on the idol called emotions. And he said, instead of thinking about what we believe and know to be true, we can get caught up in believing that what we feel is true. John 8:32, and it says this, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not have the truth, not having the truth, not even just, I've got the truth here. That's not going to mean anything. It's not going to set me free. It's knowing the truth, knowing God. That is what sets us free. And it's so important because we can profess the things of God. And that scripture, it says, I don't know you. These people that were casting out devils, doing miraculous things in his name. And he said, I do not know you. We need to know our God. We need to be persuaded. We need to know the truth. Why? Because knowing the truth will set you free. Persuasion. I'm going to talk about David and Saul, a great story that we most likely know. And it goes like this, that there was a great battle with Israel and the Philistines. And along came this Philistine champion, this huge guy, massive, named Goliath from Gath. This huge dude, I can only imagine. Massive sword, massive armor, just standing there beckoning Israel, send me your finest warrior. All of Israelites were scared, sitting in their tents. And we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 says this. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. Isn't it amazing that a simple thing like that, this young boy David, a bread deliverer, could take on a champion. Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Listen to this. For who is the uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Both Saul and David were anointed to be king of Israel, yet only one of them was persuaded. While Saul was sitting in his tent, while all of Israel was sitting there cowering because of this Philistine enemy, this giant, one young boy, King David, he said, who is to defile the army of God? Who? He was so persuaded. He didn't have to even look at the guy before even saying that. And he defeated the giant. He defeated it because he was persuaded. He knew his God. And how many of us, when we face our giants, are we persuaded that we can defeat them? Or are we just going to leave them in the background and ignore them? Another example is Caleb and Joshua. Numbers 13 and 1 and says this, and the Lord speaking to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving you to the children of Israel. And so verse 12 says, spies were sent as command by God and received a report. Verse 27, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And this verse 30 says, and Caleb quietened the people before Moses and said, let us go. Let's take this place, for we are surely able to overcome it. Can you see that persuasion?
Right.
Yes, there's milk and there's honey. This place is great. Yes, there are giants, but we can take it. What they just went through Egypt, coming out of the Red Sea, persuaded. And there are many that are persuaded of God's goodness, but few are persuaded enough to pursue God's will. Only two were persuaded. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. I can imagine them seeing just this fruit. And if you can see there, they've got these massive grapes. I could only imagine seeing that. How tasty. I love grapes. And they were so persuaded. There's all this fruit. This is the promise that was given to Moses that we could take this land. Let's go. There's a couple of tall guys. Yeah, but whatever. We're the army of the Lord. We're God's people. We're God's chosen people. And yet the crowd of unbelievers, the non-persuaded one, they lost that promise. They couldn't go. There's power in your persuasion. There is power when you say, I am persuaded. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I am persuaded nothing's going to separate me from what God has for my life. Yes, there are going to be challenges. Yes, there's going to be things where we can't see God's will. But if we come into the house of God, we hear the word of God, we seek him daily, we pray, we feel his presence, and then we know he is with us. It doesn't matter what comes my way. He is with us. And we need a made-up mind to say, I know who I am, and I know who he is. And I am persuaded that there is no sickness, no financial difficulty, no tragedy. If I have my job or if I lose my job, if my marriage is going well or if my marriage is having difficulty, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. Amen. Nothing. I am persuaded that that building is going to be built and all the finances are going to be taken care of. Why? Because we're the child of God. He loves us. I am persuaded the love that's never failing, that is faithful, that stands in the distance to perceive the prodigal son, the love that forgives the accused and the abandoned, a love that was poured out on Calvary. Bishop Downs talked about the light, that even though we sometimes try to shut the door on Jesus, his light still seeps through the cracks, through the imperfections of that door, through the light, through the keyhole. It still seeks us out. Even when we are not persuaded, even when we don't have our eyes fixed upon Jesus, Jesus' love is still pursuing us. And I thought that was such a beautiful illustration last Sunday night, that God still loves us. I've only got a short message tonight, and I'm sort of coming to a close now, but there's this beautiful scripture, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. Jesus speaking, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who are sent to you, how I often longed to gather your children together, even as hens gather her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And now, this beautiful scripture following after, which just caused me to sort of be in awe of the love of God. Jesus being brought to Pilate to be judged in Matthew 27, verse 30, and it says this, but the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus, the innocent one. What a beautiful scripture in contrast with what Jesus was saying to Jerusalem is, I love you, Jerusalem. I've chastened you. I've called you, but you've left me. And here we have those very children saying, we want Barabbas instead of Jesus, the Messiah. Crucify him. They persuaded the multitude. And when Pilate said, I have no fault in him, I can't see anything wrong with him, they persuaded everyone to say, we want Barabbas. And as I looked upon that, I really felt the power of God, how he was on the cross and how he was this loving God, the God that was chastening after his people all through the Old Testament, came in flesh, dwelt among his people, and they still rejected him. They challenged him. And yet, here we have him crucified. And there's such a beautiful thing about grace and mercy that God has for us today. When you are persuaded, there is no giant big enough, no circumstance that's crazy enough to get in your way. Why? Because God loves you. And there is nothing that can separate that. There is nothing. As I said, when we close the door, God's light still seeks us out. What love is that? It's so powerful. And if it wasn't for that love, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'm not perfect. I slip up. I make mistakes. Before I knew God, and I was in my darkest place, there was no light. I didn't know what was happening. I could only see darkness. But then there was a light that came. There was a word that came. There was a testimony that said, I was here, I was in this dark place, but God delivered me. And I felt that light starting to shine from a distance and saying, you know what? I haven't seen that before, but I need that. There is something that is drawing close to me and that's pursuing me. And I couldn't escape it. I could feel it in my heart. It was pumping. And I could feel that same presence here tonight. God was drawing me in. Every part of my life when I came to God was exposed. It's like when you've got a closed eye, when you close your eyes and then put the light on. Life is fuzzy at first. You're blinded because you have seen this light. But then you gradually adjust and adjust and adjust. And I've been in the Lord now for about 7 to 8 years. And I know there are times where we think, where's the light? Where is God? Where is He? We have to ask ourselves, are we persuaded? We know our God. Don't forget your God that has delivered you. He can get you through. He can get you through, amen. He can go through those cracks. He can reveal those places in our hearts. And He can change us. He can reach us. He can perform a miracle in our lives. Hallelujah. Our God is so good. Our God is so good. He loves us so much that He purchased our lives on Calvary with the blood. And as I close with these last three scriptures, I want you to be reminded that no matter when, no matter what comes my way, no matter how, I am persuaded. No matter when, rejoice not my enemy, for when I fall, not if I fall, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, not if I sit in darkness, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. No matter what, Psalms 23 verse says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And no matter how, Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? No circumstance can be against you. No addiction can be against you. When it comes to God, He can deliver you from everything. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all these things? He desires you. He desires your attention. He doesn't want you to have a life of saying, why is this happening? I don't understand, why is this happening? But He wants you to say, God, what are you doing? God, I can't see what's happening through my circumstances right now. And it feels like I've got a blind on. I can't see where I'm going, Lord. I've got all these crazy things happening right now and I don't know what's going to happen. But I am persuaded. Why? God, you delivered me. God, you brought me through the fire. God, you brought me to where I am, Lord. And Lord, I'm nothing but clay in your hands. Mold me and make me to who you want me to be. Lord, have my broken pieces. Take them, make them new. Lead me through those seasons, Lord, where I can't see you. But take me to that place, Lord, where I can be in your presence, that I can feel you again, Lord. Where I can feel you so thick that, Lord, it's as though I can reach out and touch your hem, that I can get my deliverance. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand as I ask Pastor Downs to come?